Hello, Marijn. How's it going?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Good. Yeah,
Good.
it's great.
That's awesome. I'm really happy to have you on. Been looking at your work for a while, and you're like one of the best visual effects artists, real-time visual effect artists I've ever seen on our station. Everybody can see your work next to you there. It's just amazing
Thanks
what
a
you've
lot,
been
man.
working on. So yeah.
Yeah, it was an awesome opportunity to work on this project. Well, as you might know, I'm a freelance VFX artist now, and I just started like 2 years ago. I think at first I was well, like you, a generalist for about seven. Oh, no, wait. I think for about 3 years, I started working in 3D, but then the VFX artist that worked there left, so I had to fill in the role, and it really stick to me. So I kept doing that, and also a lot of 3D and texturing. But I always liked VFX the most. I've worked at a studio for about 7.5 years, and after that, I was looking for a bit more challenge or something else at least. And that's how I started for myself. And Robin, that's another freelance VFX artist. I was talking with him about it, and I had the lucky opportunity that he asked me to help him out with this project called Fablecraft,
Awesome.
or Tales of Fablecraft. And it was an awesome project to start out with my freelance, because the effects really had to how do you say that? It's very effect driven, so all the thing it is just static tiles, and the effects are everything that you see, so it has to be really flashy and all. And yeah, that was a very nice project to start out with.
As a freelancer, but before that you worked,
Yeah, the whole story is not very linear, but yeah, so it was my first project as a freelancer.
And so that was like a couple of years ago or 1 year ago?
It was last year,
Last year.
2024, yeah.
How was it then
And
navigating a freelance career?
What do you mean navigating?
It's not the usual. It's unstable, right? It has its pros and cons. Being able like to work as a freelancer, you don't have like a fixed vacation days. How do you manage your free time? All those like things that comes with it, being a freelancer. Like, how did you navigate that?
Well, I'm still learning like every day, and I feel more free than ever because, well, I can manage my own time, and I can sometimes, like friends, do something fun, and I don't want to miss it. I can just join them, and later on the day, I can just work at night or sometimes in the weekends, and it's that's very nice. And also, if I want to have a vacation or something, I can just, well, kind of do that. And as long as I meet the deadlines, that's fine, I think. So yeah, it does give a lot of freedom, but also insecurities, of course, because for now I have a project like 2 more months, and after that I have no idea what I will be doing. So maybe I'm out of work, out of the work for a few months.
It's
But yeah,
definitely
that's
like you're responsible of your own management, like of your own projects that you have to take on and of your own free time, and but at the same time that gives you more freedom, I feel.
Yeah, yes, definitely. At least at the time you work, it's just completely up to me, especially when you work at a different time zone, because then well, you make some time that you're both online, and then you have a meeting sometimes. But apart from that, you're completely free. And of course, a lot of communication with Discord or Slack, and you just send your work, your video, you get feedback, and you fix it
Do you have like the
like that.
feeling that nowadays, with the current state of the industry, studios and companies are more willing to hire freelancers as opposed to like actually hiring someone and being like responsible of them than having layoffs and things like that.
Yeah, I think I haven't been long enough in this freelance thing to know about that. But my timing, I'm not sure if it was a bad or a good timing because, I think when I started freelancing, it was all okay. But after that, it went downward pretty quickly. Also, the other guy, Robin, has been doing this for a bit longer. And at first, he got a lot of requests for work. And it's, becoming a little less now. So finding something is still quite hard.
Yeah, well, it's a combination of a lot of things, right? You need to be able to be lucky enough to find that. So once you're delivered your work, it's a deadline. You need to be lucky enough to like line up the next opportunity.
I didn't do anything with my first project after that. I just kept on working until the end. And after that, I started looking for something new.
Yeah.
So the next time, I think I will start a bit sooner, even though that's a bit harder for planning because maybe the project has to go on for a bit longer. Sometimes I think the last project, Fablecraft, was planned to stop in June or July, something like that. And eventually I continued working on it like until November. So it was much longer than the original planning.
Was it like extended or did you just had to work through it? Because
new work just kept on coming. Like, we want to do this and we want to do that. And it just kept on going.
So how is it with like contracts when it comes to this? If you were, for example, hired as a freelancer or as a contractor on project based, right? So you're working until the project is done. And then all of a sudden you notice that you need actually 2 more months to complete the project. How do you go about asking for more money? And is it a tricky situation? What do you advise people to do?
You mean that there's more work that needs to be done after your contract?
So if the contract states a person, Jack, for example, has to work on this project until it finishes, it doesn't state what exactly your work is, right? So it doesn't state the tasks. It just says this person is hired for so-and-so money until the project ends. Meaning if there will be more features, you probably won't be paid. Have you ever gone through a situation like that? Do you advise people to get a lawyer in that situation? Like, what do you?
I just work on an hourly basis.
Okay.
So
that's good.
It's very easy. Just if there's more work, I will spend more hours and I have to charge the hours. So no problems on that side yet.
That's
luckily
good.
And I've been working on 3 different projects now as a freelancer, so I'm still in my starting years, I think.
So basically, it comes with being a freelancer. Do you own your work? So meaning like the systems that you create using the particle systems on different projects. You're not hired by a company. That means they're not buying your technology, right? You own that still, correct or not?
The effects I make are owned by the company I make them for.
Okay.
So they are not my own anymore. Some textures, of course, are in a bit of a gray area, like some noise textures. I think nobody will be thinking like, hey, that's our noise texture or something.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a bit of a gray area with what you can reuse. But if it's a very defined texture of something or an effect, you can't just copy it. It's ownership of the people that paid you. Yeah.
Does that automatically go into it, like into the contract, or is that something you add to the contract?
Until now, that's just stated in the contract that everything I make is owned by the company. Yes.
Okay. Now that's interesting. because I think, I mean, freelance is a bit more flexible with those things, right? You could always like license your work or license your, like you could license it for 5 years. Like, there's like a huge thing. Like I really advise people to have a lawyer to get like the best deal out of it. But at the same time, you kind of just want to work on the thing that you want to do. So I totally understand if you like you give them the rights, which makes sense.
What would be the purpose of having it yourself, the rights of the effects you make?
Well, you're kind of reserving so the whole point is that you're evolving with your work, right? You're keeping it on, you're keeping the technology or the stuff that you're making, meaning next time you're on a project, you could say, you know what, on the past project, I worked on so-and-so, and I have about 10 effect systems that I could reuse their structure, not create exactly copy one-to-one, but like reuse the structure, meaning the particles might have the same motion. Now I don't have to create them from the beginning, right? So you're evolving your career, you're evolving your skills, and you're taking the technology that you're creating also with you. Now that does not mean that you cannot like recreate everything from zero. No one is saying that, but like also you're owning those systems. You could reuse them. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit hard to draw a line there, because if I reuse an effect and I change all the textures, is anyone going to notice it? It's the same effect.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. That's yeah. Like I said, it's hard to draw a line there. As long as it's a complete different effect, I don't think it's a problem, as you use the same kind of setup.
Yeah.
Also with shaders, like if you have made a shader and you want to have something that looks almost the same for another project, like the same features, it would be a bit weird to completely redo it all. So yeah, it's a lot faster, and I also think that's better to just copy things from the old to the new.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, don't reinvent it all. Maybe like, you forgot how you did all that. Yeah.
Sometimes you're working on a project, right, and you create three different effects that you know you could expand, but they've never been used. Like they've never been used in that project or whatever. So you kind of at least keep the knowledge on how to make them, meaning you could reuse that, because you own, in the end, you own the knowledge, and that's yours, and that's what makes your skills, you know, that's what makes hiring you attractive, like to companies and to hiring agents, right? Well, enough about the legal stuff. Let's talk about the art. what drew you to like visual effects? What fueled your fire?
Fueled my fire. Yeah, that's I think that's quite difficult to answer, because it just kind of I really liked the combination of colors and emotion, and as soon as you finished an effect, it is finished and it's alive, and it doesn't like, I don't give someone a gray model and an animator has to do something, a texture artist has to do something. As when I finish my effect, it's somewhat well done, and I love doing that, like making something entirely on myself and not be dependent on others for that.
That's, love that answer.
I think that is a thing that really attracted me to that.
I absolutely love how you answered that, because something I thought about, but I never put into words. So I'm so glad that you said it.
I never thought about it either, but it just came up into my mind now.
That's why it's amazing to make podcasts. It's just that you have things in your head, you can't voice it out, but when someone like pokes it with a question, you're like, here it is. This is why I like doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because I have done, of course, a lot of 3D, and it always had to go to an animator or something. So you just give a boring static model. And of course, in the end, it will come to life, and that's nice to see. But
yeah.
And also the what I like a lot, what I said earlier, was that it's like a puzzle you have to solve. All the pieces coming together and being almost faking everything most of the time, and that's a really fun challenge.
Faking, you mean
Like,
like the end result?
yeah, no, well, how do you, like, whether you're the tornado, you see, it's just how can I make like a tornado with just simple geometry and limitations of course hardware. So in a sense, it's all fake because it's digital, of course. But yeah,
Yes.
that it just has to look right, and of course, be the performance has to work also. But as long as it looks good, it's okay. Like,
And
yeah,
like as
something like
long as
that.
it tricks the eye, basically, right?
Yeah, I think so. Especially with the game you're seeing now, it's all orthographic, top down. So as soon as you put it in 3D perspective, all the effects are completely ripped apart out of it. It makes no sense anymore.
It's
But
like,
from
yeah.
top down, it's okay.
It's like
And
taking a
also with the
Photoshop
layering,
file
yeah.
and like looking at it from the side. It's all layers. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and also it, of course, all the layers and some things are really close to the camera, and others are very way back. Yeah, so like that, yes.
So cool that it feels sometimes like you're a trickster, or what do you call those people that do like magic, but it's not magic? What is it called?
It's magic.
It's magic. A magician never reveals their tricks, right? But I feel in the real time you fix how to say, like the scene itself, the people that work in it, it's the total opposite.
Yeah,
So
well,
if you're
but
interested, we'll let you know.
well, the CEO of Fablecraft, we always send it to him, and he was giving feedback, and sometimes he called us magicians. So it does happen, yes.
Isn't it funny that one of the tools we use is called Houdini, and it's like, yeah, kind of true a
Yeah.
little bit. It's visual programming somewhere in some form. It's like the perfect mixture of engineering or engineers and artists. It's
Yeah.
like what we do is a bit different. We
I
are, yeah.
don't use it any by the way. I've never used it. It's always
Houdini?
like yeah, it looks so complicated or something. And you really have to invest to get to learn it, I think.
I think if more people, if more like real-time VFX artists get to use it, we will make amazing, amazing workflows and pipelines.
Yeah.
Just because of the procedural features that it has. I used it, I experimented with it last year as I was doing the Let's Learn streams. So I was doing like, okay, let's learn Houdini. And I did like 47 days and episodes of me just like attending different courses, and I experimented with the HDAs, they're called. I don't know if you ever heard about that.
HDA.
Yeah, it's a Houdini digital asset. So, and income, it's used usually with the combination of the Houdini engine, which is like a plugin to Unity or Unreal. And what you do is you create a procedural whatever. So what I did is like I created a tool that fractures the meshes. You can put any mesh you want, and it does operations where through noise and couple of parameters, it does Boolean operations in Houdini. So it cuts the mesh, and then it applies the UV. It applies two UV materials, so two UVs and two materials on the inside and on the outside. So the fractured material on the inside and the original material on the outside. So what you do is you put any mesh you want, you give it the material that you want to give it, and you create parameters in Houdini. You export that HDA into Unity, and it does the generation using both. So it has to bake basically. So if let's say it's a column, You fracture it in Houdini. It literally imports it in Houdini. It does the fracturing. Then it exports it into the Unreal Engine. And then when you hit a bullet to it, it fractures. But not only fractures, but it has the right material. So you could assign a cement material inside while it still has the outside material. Okay. You could also give then the bullet, when it hits, like dust and particles. I could show you some results of what I created.
I think I did, but I'm not sure how the file format was called, but I once had to make a bookshelf falling filled with books, and it wasn't doable without, maybe it's something different. It was more like exporting a simulation. I think that's it.
Yeah.
I made a physics simulation in Blender and exported that to Unity.
Yes.
Because I couldn't do it with VFX, because it were too many books, and the bookcase had to break down in parts. So
basically simulated the gravity of those books in Blender and then exported the baked animations.
Yeah, probably. The baked animation in I'm not sure what the file format was called.
I think baked animations can be baked on FBXs or OBJs. I'm not entirely sure, but I think you can.
No, it was something else.
Okay.
I couldn't export this as an FBX. It would be way too large of a file, I think.
Mm, yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It's something else.
Yeah, I also experimented. One of the chapters in that course I was attending last year, that you create a procedural bridge, and then you simulate the gravity. You simulate like 30 frames or 40 frames. So like it just goes up and down like that. And you can export that whole thing, or that whole simulation, into Unreal, but then it will be like 30 gigabytes or 40 gigabytes, like something ridiculously crazy like that. But there are different ways where you could like hook, you can make the whole rig, you can make a procedural rig, export it to Unreal. Anyway, Unreal and Houdini, and Unity and Houdini is like a very interesting workflow. Like if you know how to use Houdini and you're like that magician, I feel like us real-time artists, we need to explore that area a little bit more, because like it's just
I think that most of the time the Unreal Engine and the more realistic effects are all made in like Embergen, Houdini, Unreal, and the more stylized effects in Unity are Substance Designer or just Photoshop and Unity.
Absolutely.
So it feels like that's a more the more realistic effects made in Unreal are more technical, I think.
That's correct. Art. Yeah. It kind of requires more proceduralism, because like if when you're going into stylized art, you're kind of more for the effects are more forgivable or more forgiving.
Yeah.
Because you're not like copying nature one to one. You could literally make fire out of cubes, right? And the player.
I did that.
Yeah. Okay, once. You did that.
One of my first projects. You see the on the video the alien purple thing.
Yeah.
That's a sequel of the original game, and cool. That original game was called It Came from Space and Ate Our Brains. It was all very. It was all made by cubes. That was the original idea. Everything was cubes. Fire was cubes. The bullets, all the effects were cubes. The aliens were cubes.
I love the art direction.
The cubist style.
Kind of like Minecraft.
Yeah, it was made by Triangle Studios. That's also the studio I've worked for 7.5 years.
Wow. Okay, so you mentioned a little bit about your origin, like being a generalist. I feel like this, if someone listens to this and they're a beginner, they might get overwhelmed, right? They're like, oh, fuck, I need to work for 7 years in the industry before I become a VFX artist. And that is so further away from the truth. Can you like let those people know that they don't need to be 7 years in the industry?
Yeah, I haven't been learning all those years. I have just functioned in the studio and made stuff. And of course, you learn a lot also about how it works in a professional environment. But sometimes I see someone that has been studying 1 or 2 years for VFX and is already feeling at my level or better. So Yeah, it's I think if you really want to learn it, it's doable in a lot shorter time span than 7 years.
I feel like visual effect artists are, or real-time visual effects artists are a bit like pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah,
Oh.
you know, you can.
Now I would like one.
Yeah, me too. Let's order one. You know, you could have your cheese and your tomato and put a little bit of salami or olives or whatever you want on it, as long as you have the ingredients. If you don't have the ingredients, you're not gonna have a pizza. But it's as simple as having a little bit of everything. And that's why the term, the generalists, right? Like, that's why almost all, I'm not gonna say all of them, almost all real-time visual effects artists come from a generalist background. Or even if they never had dabbled a little bit with art or programming, they kind of need to. Like, yesterday I had a guest, Chrisley, who she started from like nowhere. She just was really interested in games, and she learned a little bit about everything. She said she had a Skillshare subscription, not a sponsor, and she just learned drawing a little bit, then learned a bit about particles in Unity, and she was applying to all the jobs. She was like, I was applying for concept artist. She wouldn't get accepted. She was applying as a 3D modeler. She wouldn't get accepted. And then eventually she applied for a visual effects artist. And because she was like at least 20% good in all those principles, she was able to make that pizza. Back to the pizza analogy. I should make a
Yeah.
pizza t-shirt. Anyway, so she was able to produce something that was desirable. And who does not like pizza? Ah, I should stop.
It's almost lunchtime. But yeah, I think that's quite logical because when I first started, of course, there was VFX, but I never thought about how to make them, and 3D was very how do you say? Well, easy to understand. You just have something, make as a concept art or an image, and you just try to remake that. And it's very easy to understand. But visual effects, what you said, so many elements. Like you also have to do 3D. You have to do some texturing, and of course the whole particle system. You have to learn performance and all those things. It is quite a lot. So when you come from a generalist position, you know, well, a bit of everything, a little.
Yeah,
Or how do you say it?
and you can always expand. It's a puzzle that you always have to solve, and you can always expand your art knowledge, your 3D knowledge, your texturing knowledge, your programming knowledge, like mathematics and things like that. Because particles are not, I don't know if you use the visual effects graph. Do you use the visual effects graph?
Yes, I have, but very basic. I never really had to use it in a professional way, so it just sometimes I think, oh, I should learn it, and then I make some effects, and then another project comes up, and I have to go back to Shuriken.
Yeah, you have to work with the tools that you learned anyway. Yeah, so I totally
So
understand.
if a project comes up that I actually have to do professional VFX graph, I think it will be going a lot faster, yeah.
I think career
Learning
wise,
with.
I've only worked with visual effects graph.
Damn.
It's been like really, really interesting to learn. And sometimes it's a pain, you know. It's like, I could
Yeah,
have done the
the
same thing.
possibilities are
Yeah.
endless.
It's endless, yeah. And you could always what I like about it is this endless possibility of learning. Like, you could always dive deeper into mathematics, or just like learn how to hook everything into the gameplay. Like, how can I hook the parameters that I created into the gameplay? Meaning, like, how, like, let's take a vector three, for example. A vector three of like that transform of the character, of the player. You can take that whole thing, put it as a parameter inside of the graph, and it would feed all those information, and it would create a certain effect, or it would create like a, you can add like a sine wave to it. So every time the character goes left, the sine wave gets higher, or every time the character goes right, it gets slower. Like, you can make different variety of effects, helpful for like rain effects or any type of effect that can come across your mind. I really love it.
Yeah, it is a very nice tool, but the thing is that I wish that it would be you now have sometimes you need the Shuriken system, sometimes you need the VFX graph. I wish that I just had to only use VFX graph or only use Shuriken. That would be, make it a lot easier to understand.
I mean, each one has their use, and if you want to go the graph way, you're kind of also sacrificing that you're not going to make a mobile game, basically. Or
No,
the
and also there is no real collision, and it's well, the Shuriken system is more CPU, and the VFX graph is for GPU, like all the millions of tiny things.
Yeah, like the visual
But
effects graph is more made for like environment effects, I feel. Or like the effects that needs to be called on a lot by the GPU. Like if you have a game that is just spawning, right? Just spawning effects all the freaking time, like bullets and explosions everywhere. I feel like the graph could be more performative if your game is GPU or PC
yeah,
based, like.
except if you want the projectiles or the particles to behave like actual bullets, because then you miss the collision part and the CPU thing.
Yeah, but
I
like,
did, by the way, make weather effects in one of the projects that I have not put on my portfolio. I had to make a lot of weather effects, and I remember I have been doing that in VFX Graph. So it was a bit of work in a professional project.
I mean, you could have simple collisions like a plane, a box, or I think a def buffer. So you can even have a little bit more complex ones if you use the def buffer and you know how to use it.
Yeah,
So
but as
just
soon as you have to hit moving enemies or something, it won't do that,
it would
I
do
think.
that, but you have to be smart with the way you're doing your logic. So implementation will be a bit difficult, more difficult than it's supposed, but it's doable. It's not as simple as the Shuriken. I'm there with you. I'm there with you. So that's something a beginner wouldn't know, right? A beginner who is like just learning the graph or thinking that they can decide, they wouldn't know much about, those features.
The hardest part for a beginner, and I also sometimes struggle with it, is what should I learn first? Like what software or what tool? Like you have to commit somewhere. And I also really want to learn more for Unreal Engine because, well, I have been a few months without work a while ago, and there were quite some people asking to work, but it was in Unreal. So yeah, I said sorry, I can't do it yet. I have to learn it. So yeah, I am very specialized in Unity now, so that's also a good thing, I think, but I really want to pick up Unreal somewhere
It makes it
in the
unique
future.
to hire you. Like people would be looking for. I decided for Unity for the same reason. I've seen out of like 10 visual effects artists, I've seen 7 that just use Unreal and maybe 3 that use Unity. It's also one of the reasons why you're one of my favorite like visual effects artists, because you use the same engine that I use. And I know how less resources there are, like courses wise or tutorials. There aren't as much for Unity,
Yeah, but
right?
if you look at, I think the statistics, there are more little companies working in Unity than in Unreal. So I
Absolutely.
think if you're looking for work, I'm not entirely sure. That would be nice to be able to use them both, of course, because that's then you have double the opportunity.
That's where I can advocate more for the visual effects graph, if you like are willing to learn both, because Niagara system is kind of similar.
It's kind of like the VFX graph. Yes, I am following a course in Unreal, but I'm not that far yet.
I mean, you will struggle a little bit. I used Shuriken in the beginning at the very start, and like basic things were like over a lifetime. You can't find it. You have to add a block that and then add another like sample gradient or sample curve, and then add a plugin the over lifetime to make it work. And while in the Shuriken system, it's like literally a check mark. You just like click click
Yeah,
check.
especially when you have to make a lot of effects, it felt a bit tedious to do again and again and
Yeah.
again all the blocks. So
But
it's nice to copy paste them.
exactly. The cool thing about it's this overview. I like the visual effects graph better than the Unreal Niagara system because you have all the overview. Meaning, like, you can have all your math that you've done next to the graph itself, next to the blocks, right? You have your update, you have your initialize, then update, so spawn, initialize, update, then output. Those are the levels it goes through it. And then you can have all the parameters on the left or the mathematical things that you create, kind of like the shader graph on the left of it. And you could just always have the overview. So meaning when you're fixing something or trying to optimize, you're always able to see it like firsthand, like just look at it. Kind of like a blueprint, but in Niagara system, you kind of like need to double click until you go into like the mathematics that you've been operating or whatever.
I have on my portfolio. I think I have to remove it because it's not. It's quite ugly. It's an explosion I tried to make in the VFX graph.
Yeah.
Not sure if you have seen it, but
I've seen it, but it looks great for me.
it was a bit of an experimentation experimental thing. But I have then I have one spawner at the top and all those things underneath, and it feels a bit too much for just a simple explosion
Yeah.
or something. And then the little hierarchy you have with the shuriken system, for me at least, feels more well, at least easier to
Of
understand
course,
for me.
yeah, because you've always worked with it, and I feel like because I operated with both, I kind of like totally, I don't see that anymore. But I can tell you, when I first started with the visual effects graph, I've regretted it. I was like, "Oh, this is difficult." But the more I used it, the more I became fluent. It's kind of like learning a language, right? You've learned German, right? At beginning, it sucks a little bit, right? I mean,
I can
it's.
order something in a restaurant, yes.
For me, it still sucks.
And I think I'm also quite good at pronouncing the words because it looks a lot like Dutch, the Dutch language.
Yeah, I feel like
So it's
Dutch sounds like the syrup version of German. I don't know if
yeah,
it's
I
a
heard
mix.
everyone thinks it's almost the same, but a weird version of German.
A drunk version of German.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yes. Also, Dutch accent in English is terrible.
Oh, I've never heard that
When
one.
our prime minister a few years ago, always when I saw him on television, he had like the worst Dutch accent. It was terrible to look at, and I will probably have the same feeling when I rewatch this video. A
I don't
Dutch
notice it. I really
accent.
can't hear it at all. I'm just
Oh
so
damn.
used to the Austrian accent, so maybe I can't hear any other accents anymore. And what is like
Well,
the
that's good.
percentage of like people that speak English in Netherlands? It's pretty high, isn't it?
Everyone does, and the older generation also, like the older generation speaks more German and the younger more English. But that's also becoming a bit of a problem now, because it is our neighbor country. But nobody wants to learn German anymore, apparently.
Are there people also learning French?
No,
Not as much.
no,
Okay.
no. But people in Netherlands, I think, are quite high in the amount of languages they speak.
Yeah.
Well, we are very tiny, and a lot of tourists come here, and it's quite normal to speak their language instead of them speaking
Your
Dutch.
language,
Like
yeah.
if someone from Germany comes here, we speak German,
Wow.
and they don't have to speak Dutch or anything. Yes,
So the
and we
nation
also
is
have,
generalist by nature.
yeah, and we also I live in the top part of the Netherlands, and it's also a different language there. It's called Friesland, and we speak an even older language than Dutch. It's called Fries. And it's completely different. It looks more like English than Dutch.
Wow,
So
okay.
I got that as a gift for free,
Wow.
an extra language.
This is
My girlfriend also is only speaks that language, and We have a bilingual, our kids learn
Cool.
bilingual educate. How do you say that? Well, they learn two languages from the
Yeah.
start.
So basically, the old version of the Dutch and the Dutch, the
It
casual.
no, it's a alternative version from English. It came from Old English.
Wow.
So a Frisian and a Old English guy could speak with each other if they really talk
Wow.
slowly. There's
That's
a lot
so
of
interesting.
resemblance in those two.
I
But that's
always
in
thought
the
that.
top part of the Netherlands. They speak that language.
It's so fascinating, man, like how languages develop and everything. Like in Arabic, where I come from, each country has their own accent. And like if you're
Yeah.
learning Arabic and you learn the modern Arabic, which is I think it's called modern Arabic. We call it Fusha. It's just like what you would hear in the news. Or what you would hear, or what you would read in the newsletter, for example. But what you hear in the street is like completely, like if you think you learned Arabic and you go down to Syria or Egypt, you'll be shocked. Like even the how are you is different by each country and sometimes by each city. It's crazy.
I think you have in a lot of countries also here. The farther you go down south, the more different it sounds, and also in Germany, and I think every country has a lot of different accents.
Especially the more widespread the languages. But like then you have the United States with like maybe three different accents, like but like not that
Not that
different.
much.
Anyway, back to VFX,
Back to VFX,
I
yes.
guess. We also have our own languages with like different engines. And I wanted to ask you about like the what happened last year, was that, or the year before, where Unity did the changes. What were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking like, oh crap, I have to switch. When I first read that and everyone was very pessimistic about the future of Unity, and everyone was trying to learn something, also Godot, I think, and all the other things. But then they reverted the change, and I was like, luckily I don't have to change now. So it was more of a bump, like a small bump in the journey. And I forgot about it quite quickly, I think.
I mean, eventually they changed their changes because there was no
Reverted, yeah.
future. There was no future for Unity. If we're honest with what they did, there was about to be no future. But then they changed it back, thankfully, and people were more prominent to use it again, or they were more open to use it again. But otherwise, it was a really tough time. Like if indie developers can't make money, why would they make a game?
Yeah, and it was also part of because when was it, did you say, the change? When did they announce that?
I think it was last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Last year. Oh yeah, well, it was together with the industry not going great, so at first I thought, damn, what have I done? Starting as a freelancer, Unity will be gone, industry is not going great. But yeah, maybe I will still have no work later on, but I'm not sure yet.
That's a
We'll see what
freelance.
the
That's you signed up to this. It is what it is. That's why, like, I feel that freelancers should have the privilege to, I think it is the case, to, ask for more money, because you're dealing with your own taxes, you're dealing with your own insurances, you're dealing with your own job security. You don't pay job security if you're a freelancer.
No, you have to save while working for a period of no work. I think you have to have at least a year of savings to for
Absolutely, that's how it works.
that time.
Like you need to take care of yourself. We talk about it because me and you, we work in the freelance world, right? I also it's been a year for me. Like we kind of are in the same, but I think you worked on way more projects than I did. That's because of your, I would say, seniority level of work, right? You've been almost 10 years in the business.
Yeah, 10 years.
You've known how games function. You probably can implement your effects in a nice fashion, right?
Probably, yes. I mostly, as a freelancer, you also are expected to do all these things and know all how it all works
Yes.
and yeah, fix your own shit. Like they expect you to know a lot. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's we always say it's pretty hard as a junior to start out as freelance.
Yeah, I
It's
agree.
nice to have a just a contract somewhere to learn everything for the in the professional environment. And when you're comfortable enough, then freelance isn't probably an option. Of course, you can start out as a freelancer, but I think you will have a hard time.
No, it's definitely difficult, and you might end up in a situation where you might ask for help, and it will be just difficult to hire you again. Unless you have
Yeah.
like a great team that is willing to show you the way.
Yeah. And also, I think as a junior, you really might get underpaid because you think, well, I'm not that good. And you ask for very little money and then you get maybe financial problems, I think,
It's
because
easy,
all
yeah.
of your own costs you have to. You have as a freelancer.
Yeah,
But
so
yeah.
you kind of like really need to be careful with the whole thing. I've personally worked in the industry as a journalist, just like you before. I was hired, not as 7 years, I think, as you did, and I've been hired by different studios. So like I've never not did not have like the experience throughout one studio. I've kind of like went here and there, but I was hired. I never was a freelancer. And then I kind of went into this learning phase of like learning real-time visual effects, and that was like about 6 months, I would say. Then I just applied for a job, and it was a freelance job, and did an art test. And from all the people who applied, I was chosen to be the best, which was like super lucky.
Nice.
I would say the reason why I got chosen is because I had a 2D background. Like I was able to understand what is the art director trying to tell me, and not just taking the effect. Like let's say if it was a poison effect, I'm not doing the usual online tutorial of like fades, with like no alpha clipping or the gradients they use usually. The usual look, like the LOL, the League of Legends look, the stylized that everybody does, which the art director was specifically saying, like, I don't want that. Right? So I was able to take that seriously and be able to tune the style. Because I've been working with 2D before. Like you kind of need
Nice.
to be able to simulate different styles. And I think you know that. Like when I look at your work, I've seen different styles. It's not just the usual, League of Legends that you see all the time. It's different styles. I especially like the one with the game with the shooting. I forgot the name. Men from Space.
From space,
Or From
yes.
Space. I really love the effects you've done there. That's the type of effects I'm working on right now.
They are quite simple. All the effects, but it's because there's so much going on screen, it kind of works that way. But the effects itself are, it's mostly like neon colors, and a lot of them, and yeah, that really works good. Yeah.
But also a
Well,
lot of
I'm.
variety, right? Like they all look the same, but they have varieties.
I think, and there are a lot of guns. I don't think the trailer shows. Well, it's just a small part. There are many, many guns in that game, and they all had their own effect. So it was also very fun to work on. I
I
love
would
working
imagine.
on weapons and that kind of thing. But the project I'm currently working on is something completely different. I think I can just, as long as there is a trailer online, I think I can just say what I'm working on, I guess.
Yeah. But if
I'm not
there's
sure
no
if that's.
trailer, we can't talk about
Yeah,
it.
there is a trailer.
Okay, cool.
So It is called Devil Jam,
Devil Jam.
and it's well, completely hand painted kind of style
No,
in
cool.
metal vibes, a theme.
Wow. Wow, I
So
really
it's
appreciate that.
very fun to do something completely different than I was used to.
Oh yeah, it is all painted. It's wait, I'm gonna put it on screen. I'm just gonna
It's a
put it over you if that's
2D,
not a problem.
2D game. Well, it looks
Yes.
2D. It is kind of 3D.
There's not so many of the effects. Oh yeah, here we go.
But
Wow.
this looks like an this. I think this is old footage.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
It's
I
from a
think
month
there's a
ago.
new one.
Yeah. 10 days ago. Let's see. That's a newer trailer. That's actually
10
some
days ago, it sounds
gameplay.
better.
Reminds me of Hades. Can that be?
Yeah, and many people in the comments say the same. Yeah, this is the newer one, yeah.
I found the effects from Hades to be like extremely well done. This is also very well
Yeah,
done.
yeah, yeah.
This is so nice. Wow. Did
It
you like
isn't
hook all the implementation yourself, or did you like get help from the, tech art team or the lead?
Well, there is just there are the developers, and they set it all up, and I can just hook
The
on my
logic.
effects. Of
Yeah.
course, they have to work with the scripts and all that, so I have to set it up correctly. But
Yep.
that's mostly my part. Yes,
Yes.
they just have a set of scripts I can put on the effects.
Just to explain to the viewer, like if you're considering a career in real-time visual effects and you're kind of afraid that you can't script, you don't need to be a game developer. Like where it's they don't come and ask you to like create systems in their game for them because you will probably fail. They will create the hooks most likely, but you will do almost all the work. Meaning,
I have never touched a script.
yeah,
Never.
same.
Not a single word.
Yeah, I mean I've written scripts just to like sometimes the visual effects graph is so annoying that you need kind of to make hook a script to it so it moves in the world space, but it kind of goes like follows the player. But they fixed a lot of the issues. Like, but if you're working with like an old version of Unity, anyway, you were saying
What was I saying?
you'd never touch the script.
Yes, I never touched the script.
Yeah.
No, I as soon as I open one, it's all yeah. That is my magic for me. As I've seen many developers typing things on the go, and then I think, what are you
What are
doing?
you
Like,
doing?
how do you
I
come up with this? How do you know the words?
swear,
So yeah, that's.
so the programmers that I work with also like they do not want to touch the graphs that I make. They're like, "What is this? It's a spider web." They don't want to touch it. They don't understand it.
Oh,
It's too
as long as
noodle.
it works together,
Yeah, it
yes.
works. It works. I have one visual effect graph that is like made out of, those blocks, right? They're like four different ones. Yeah, and I have in that one graph I have I think 20 of those. I
Terrible.
hand simulated a fracture effect. Imagine.
And what's the performance of that
Probably bad, but the
Fine.
thing is it only shows for 0.2 seconds.
Ah, damn, that's a lot of work for 0.2
It looks
seconds.
great though. Everybody loves it.
Okay, nice. Is that in the new game, after the game you're waiting for to be released?
Yeah. We're wrapping up. This is the last month. I'm working with Rami Ismail and Caspixel on like strategy game. I can't tell much, of course, as it is the case. Still waiting for the trailer to release, and I'm really excited to just show what we've been cooking. And yeah, it's the first project as a VFX artist, and I've only started
Nice.
learning, like I said, for 6 months.
That's quite impressive, yeah.
I'm lucky. I don't want to be like flexing. I'm just saying for the viewers, people who are still learning or want to learn, probably is the V real time VFX is probably the most fun skill, and the I wouldn't say the easiest, but the most impressive skill as well to get into the games industry?
Well, you can make pretty cool stuff, yeah.
Sometimes, if you look at the trailers that I'm showing, it's all the game. Right? Yeah. And if you can make your systems and scale them up, you nail them, and you can scale them always and create variants out of them, you're needed. You're needed on the team.
Yeah, and let's hope that the game industry will get back to its original state a bit. So there is loads of VFX work to be done.
It really sucks, the current state. But the thing is, it always sucked, kind of, for me. For me, it's all what I focus on is my skills. The industry goes up and down. This is something I can't control. What I can control is my skills. How was I a month ago with my skills? Was I better? Then I've done a bad job, right? With honing and like crafting. That is the only thing I can control. And if I get better overall, it's all better.
Yeah. And also a thing I wanted to mention before was a big game changer for me. I used to use a lot of textures from free sources, free texture packs. And I recently bought a license on Steam for Substance Designer.
Awesome.
And that opened a whole new world for me in texture creation.
Yeah.
It is so nice that I can now just make everything that I imagine. Normally, I would be looking at all the databases I already have and be limited by that. But now I can just make everything I want. I didn't know that was possible, like, an entire new door opening after 10 years, but it's still possible. So that's, you can always learn more.
You can always learn more. You can always expand. And for the viewers or listeners who don't know what Substance Designer is, it's like a procedural texturing tool. Usually you would paint the textures, and you would, sometimes you have to like make sure that they're tileable, right? So a lot of the effects I think we're looking at, especially with Fable, it's probably a tiled texture that is like projecting on a cylinder or something, right?
We did that a lot, yes.
Yeah.
Just a straight texture and with a cylindrical UV mapping.
Yes. And here's where Substance Designer can be really helpful, because you can create really amazing, tileable, procedurally made texturing. That means on the go, you can change a couple of parameters and now you have a new one, and it will still be tileable. Right?
Yeah, it's my best purchase, I think, I did in a long time. Because, yeah, Unity is free, of course.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Yeah, and also Blender is the best, for me, the best 3D software.
Awesome, yeah, I have to say.
On the market, yeah.
I have the same.
Yeah, feeling. I use Substance, Blender, Unity, of course, and I also, yeah, I'm there isn't, I used to work with Photoshop, but well, with the whole subscription thing and all that changes in legal agreement thing, that they somehow own your work, I'm not entirely sure how it works.
They do own your work. Basically, you don't own your work anymore. They're doing this so they could excuse their AI-generated engine
probably
to be commercially used. That means all of you that are using Photoshop, I don't use it anymore. I don't use any Adobe product anymore.
I have been looking for an alternative for quite some time.
Oh,
and
I can help you.
I am currently using Affinity Photo.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
But I really miss the alpha channel workflow from Photoshop.
Yeah.
I can't seem to work with this composite layer thing. So for the alpha things, I sometimes use Photo-P. Have you heard of that?
Of course. Yeah.
It's a copy of Photoshop, but
basically.
Yeah. Free. With exactly. ads. So sometimes I use that. So it's a mix between the two. And of course the Substance.
I use
most.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just want to add, I prefer Substance because I just can set up all my textures, have the
Exactly.
naming correct, export the whole bunch, iterate on it, and have it all on one place. But sometimes I just have to add something later on. So for that, I use Affinity or Photopea.
And you basically purchased the Substance Designer because you just don't want to subscribe. And for people who don't know anything about the prices, it's probably a 200 euros thing, right? Or is it 150? I'm not sure.
For the purchase on Steam,
Yeah.
yeah, something around 150, 200,
Yeah.
and of course, as a freelancer, you can just
Of course, take it off your taxes.
use
Yeah.
that,
Gotta love that, man.
yeah.
So for those people who are just starting and like have no idea or have no money, basically, you don't really need any of the stuff that we're talking about. You can just have Krita, open source program, paint your textures there. Or there's a material maker. Have you ever heard about it?
Yes, I've tried it also.
Yeah.
But
Limited.
yeah, I don't know why, but I stopped quite quickly with it. Not sure why yet.
Maybe it's just like it's not Substance Designer. And Substance Designer has a lot of tutorials out there, it has a lot of resources. You kind of feel supported. And if you're a freelancer, you have the money, go ahead and purchase it. Like nothing against that, of course. For the beginners, like if you just want to dabble around with like procedural texturing tools, you have Blender, but even better, you have Material Maker. And if you just want to subscribe for a month for Substance Designer, it's also very good. That's if you really can't, like you don't like to draw, you don't like this whole drawing stuff, you don't want to go there. However, for tileable meshes, I can recommend to you, and I'm talking to you, Houdini. Houdini is amazing.
Tileable meshes.
Tileable meshes, yeah. That's also not a whole different topic, right? So you're
Yeah,
making a
I'm not
visual
sure if I'm
effect.
into
Yeah. You're
that
not into
yet.
it?
Not into it yet. I
Yet.
haven't had the need to have procedural meshes or anything like that.
I thought
But maybe someday.
liquid effect on From Space, that's the name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought those liquid effects you made there are made in Houdini and then implemented in because they look
No,
really, really good.
there is no Houdini there. No, it's all or do you mean the strings like
So
coming from that's made with a
yeah.
script?
Oh, with a script, okay.
Yeah, so that is based on the amount of damage you do, and the more damage, the further the string emits it. It's like all small blobs just in string.
And what makes it look so good is that they all have the same shader, right? So when they're intersecting, they look like they're
Yes,
completely together.
it looks it was supposed to look like a line, yes, like a
Wow,
splatter.
so good. So that's been made by the tech art department, or?
Yeah, yes, that
Yeah.
has been made by a tech artist, yes.
Man, gotta love tech
So,
artists. They're amazing.
yeah, they're also an actual technical artist. It's mainly just fully a technical artist. It's also magic what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. As I mean, a lot of visual effects, real-time visual effects artists are basically technical artists. You
Yeah.
just like you could take your programming skills a little bit forward, more like get a course or something, or do some game jams, and you technically can become a technical artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always when he made something new, like a new feature we wanted, it was always very, so very curious what he made because it was always very awesome.
Yeah.
Like he always took the basic functionality of Unity and made something way better
That's
out of
right.
it, and basically made something you would expect in an entirely other engine.
Would love to have him on, honestly, because like I also have technical artists, because they also share a lot of the generalist curiosity, I guess. And they also operate
Yeah, in a
between
way.
these two worlds of tech and art. I feel like they're more like if you have a spectrum, they're more on the technical aspect. Like they come from that technical aspect more, and they dabble with art, and they kind of like can make something. Oh, they can make something. Absolutely, they can make something look amazing, right? With code.
Yeah, I mostly saw always saw him more with code on his screen and most of the time with GIMP and all very technical textures. Like the texture looked like nothing, and then with some code magic, it became something cool.
Oh, that's so awesome.
So that's on a whole different level.
Listen, man, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time. It's been 1 hour and 5 minutes. Usually I stop
It's an
before an
hour
hour,
already, damn.
but like it's been great talking to you. So I'm just gonna pivot a little bit to the viewer and, say thank you for watching and for clicking on this. If you like the video, leave a like. Let us know in the comments how you like the episode. If you have any question to Marianne or
Marine.
Marijn. So Marijn, if you have any questions to Marijn, leave it in the comment. I'll let him know, and I'll share the art station for Marijn and other stuff, maybe LinkedIn.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I just want to say you can also find me on the Discord channels, the RT VFX.
Yeah, real-time VFX.
And
It's also forum. Check it out, and they have a Discord. You can get the link. Just Google real-time VFX Discord, and you should be able to get the invitation link, because I can't send you one. They don't allow me.
there's
Okay.
another channel oh, sorry, no, I'm
Yeah.
talking
Now go
again.
ahead, please. Let the viewers know.
There's another channel that's also specifically for VFX, but more into Unreal. I think it's called Mad VFX.
Mad
It's
VFX.
another.
Yes. You know,
Yes.
I talked to the guy today.
Today.
Today, yeah, and I will talk to him later on. Not a podcast, but basically, he maybe we're talking from the same thing, but the website is called Mad VFX as well. He offers tutorials and courses. He's seen me texting on the real-time VFX server that I'm from Syria, and he was like, "I lived in Syria." And I was like, "Cool, that's
Let's talk.
amazing." Yeah, let's talk. Yeah, because like it's not you don't see a lot of Arabs in the games industry, like generally, but then like you don't see a lot of Arabs in the real-time VFX. It's super specific, right? Anyway, that's a whole story. We'll cover it later. Consider subscribing. And this all boosts the video, so or the channel, whatever. So yeah, it will help out. Thank you all for watching, and I'll see you in the next one. Marianne or Marianne, is there anything else you would like to add?
Only thanks for having me, and it was fun doing this. It was my first time, so yeah,
You
I
know,
enjoyed it.
when the new projects are out, let me know. I'll have you on again.
And you too. I'm curious about what you made have been cooking.
Oh, we've been cooking. I can't wait to share with the world. All right, everybody, thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next one. Salam.
See
Bye.
ya.
Bye.